You are listening to the podcast of the epic fantasy novel, Lion's Last Kill. And this is Chapter 17, The Oracle. Thanks for listening, and if you like epic fantasy and this kind of stuff, check out my website, www.stormthecastle.com. Enjoy! It hit Bosch the same way it did the first time he was here. It was a wave of nausea that made the world spin around. He felt like a stowaway on a small ocean-going boat. He couldn't stop it. He was on a tiny ship in an enormous ocean. The waves were rolling in sickening peaks, and he was an unwilling passenger along for the ride. The only thing he could do was cling to something and try to survive. A small part of him, the part that was connected to his ears, reported to his brain that he could hear a man vomiting and another man moaning. He separated this from himself. It was unimportant. He let the oracle into him and felt her ripple through him. Small snippets of things came to him in a rush. Things from his life and things from other lives came to him like a vibrantly colored camera obscura, casting rainbow patterns on his brain. It was all too much, he thought, and just as the thought finished, it loosened up and became bearable. He took his arms away from his face and opened his eyes. It was a small circular room, no more than 10 feet across, and they were all kneeling just inside the doorway. He felt Varga get to his feet, so he staggered up too. His eyes soaked in the room and he couldn't see her yet. They were in space. The stars were rushing at them and they were going faster. Multicolored planets rushed by them. Or did they rush by the planets? There was no way to tell. They pulled away and were looking at a galaxy, its beautiful star-filled arms twining out into the darkness. It receded into the size of a star. Then there were other stars. They rushed forward toward a spot that looked darker than the rest of space. They hurtled toward it, and with a crack that shook the mountain, they broke through the blackness and were standing in the room with the oracle. In the floor in the center of the room, she was buried up to her waist. It looked almost as if she were a plant that had sprouted from the floor. The floor itself was made of tiny square colors. They formed a pattern like a Pontalist painting that led their eyes directly into her. The backs of her hands lay gently on the floor, palms up towards the ceiling. Her head was bowed like she was sleeping in a repose, half in the floor. Her hair was black like the darkest of night skies, and in it were strands of stars glowing sharply and points so small that they almost seemed not to exist. What they could see of her was naked, and her breasts were full and beautiful. Bosch got the sense that those breasts were where the beginning of life found its first nourishment. Her skin glowed with a beauty that hurt to look at. She appeared to be a human woman of a beauty that no human woman ever possessed. But there was a small aberration that Bosch noticed the last time he saw her. Near the floor at her waist, in the middle of her stomach, the skin was flat and firm. She had no navel. This had always puzzled him, and he wondered what it truly meant. Was she never born? Did she always exist? Or was she simply not human enough, though she appeared to be? Her head slowly lifted, and she brought her gaze on the four tiny men in the room. Bosch had never felt tiny, but when she gazed on them in the room, it was exactly the truth. He was tiny. Racing through the stars and past the planets on a scale that his mind really couldn't comprehend didn't make him feel tiny. The gaze of the oracle did. Her eyes, like the room earlier, with the black of deep space, and swimming inside them were more stars. They shone with a beautiful sharp white in vague spiral patterns that formed irises. Her gaze was a piercing of time and distance. It saw everything and it knew everything. It was everything. One at a time she spoke to each of them in the privacy of his mind. Her lips, full and inviting, never moved. In this quiet way she talked to them, and they in turn responded without talking. In the reality that they had all had in common, it appeared that she just glanced at each one and it was over. But when her glance was on a man, he fell into another place that had no time, and the conversation he had with her lasted an infinity. There was a place where time didn't matter and clocks came to a stop because they didn't know their place. She spoke to Bosch and her voice lilted inside his skull.
It is the completion of the machine that you seek.
It wasn't a question. It was almost a taunt. And her eyes just continued their starry stare into him.
Very few men have come to me a second time.
He wasn't sure why she said this.
None have ever sought what you seek. It is a grand thing, or are you mad?
Her stare sucked the marrow out of him. He felt as if she were haphazardly rummaging through his mind, looking for something. The way she implied him being mad almost made him believe he was. I don't know what else to do. My world stands on the edge of a precipice, and I fear it will fall in. He was imploring her for help, and she responded with more numbing speech inside his head.
What you ask may be a matter of upsetting the balance. Does the lion kill? And is this bad?
She paused and continued staring. She brought up the lion for a reason. She had been showing him the lion in his dreams these past few nights, and he couldn't understand why.
A lion must protect its clan. If another lion comes into its land, they will fight to the death. Is this a bad thing? No, it is the way of the world. This is the way of your people too. Is it the order of things, or has something gone wrong?
The stars swirled and just kept their stare as if waiting for an answer. It feels wrong. I don't wish it to end. There must be a right way. The creatures follow a balance and a rule that is different from those of the people. I believe that we had a rule, and it has been lost to us, or we have forgotten it. She stared, and her eyes swirled in tiny galaxies of light.
Maybe it is time for you and your kind to grow. There is a next, and maybe you bring it to them, or maybe you don't.
She pointed a gentle and beautiful hand at him, with her fingers curled into a delicate fist, as if she were holding something.
It has been with you for a very long time. The answer you seek. There is a language that all know, yet all have forgotten. The crickets know it, and the sparrows know it. They sing it freely and simply, but you do not hear it, for you have forgotten it. I will remind you of it, and you will remember it. The machine can sing a song that will bring all the remembrance of it. Maybe you will succeed, and you and your kind will move on to the next, or maybe you will not. If the time is right, and your kind are ready, then it will happen. If the time is not right, it will not happen. Everything happens because it is supposed to, and nothing happens that is not supposed to happen.
Her lips creased into a smile, and he couldn't decipher what it meant. Was it happiness or pity? She opened her hand slowly, and a thought floated out of it and wafted on the cold air toward him. A single idea has the ability to change the world. Remember the cricket song, and don't forget to be wary of the lion. The thought floated gently as if it were a feather. It approached him slowly, and then melted into his forehead, and he was in another place. He was standing in a dark corridor, and he could only see 10 feet in front of him. Standing beside him was a man dressed exactly like he was. He looked in the man's face, and the man looked familiar. But the man's face was covered in frost and ice, and he couldn't recognize him, so he asked him who he was. "I am Babbage." Bosch recoiled at this, then looked closer at him. Yes, it was Babbage. And he looked exactly how he had always pictured him in his mind. It felt very peculiar to see him in the flesh like this. "Why are you here, Babbage?" "You are going to need my help with this." Everything was very quiet, and it was very warm. The incessant howling of the wind had stopped, and he imagined it must be because he was somewhere very far away from the mountain. He could possibly be on another world. This is exactly what he had hoped for. She had accepted the question, and she would allow him to have the answer. This was how he would get it. But the Oracle never simply gave you the answer to your question. You had to earn it, or find it, or discover it, or figure it out somehow. Climbing up a mountain wasn't good enough for her. You had to also give her back something, and there was no way of telling what that something was that she had wanted. He pinched himself on the face to be sure he wasn't dreaming, and he felt real enough to himself. But who could really tell? For all he knew, he was fast asleep, or that this was the real world, and the world that he came from, and the quiet quest up the mountain was the real dream. He moved his legs and started walking down the corridor. Soon it branched off into several other corridors. He had appeared to be a maze, and he was confused. After a while, he wasn't sure which way to go. Babbage drew out a blank piece of parchment and stuck it to the wall. With his finger, he drew a corridor, then two small corridors that represented the branches they were standing at. Bosch chose a corridor, and they walked down it. Whenever they came to a new corridor or an intersection, Babbage noted this on the map. And the map got larger and more complex, and many times they found themselves walking down corridors they had walked down before, but Babbage kept track of all of this, and the map showed everything. They made right turns and left turns, they walked down short corridors and around curves, and each step they took brought him closer to the center of the maze. A full day passed and they kept walking. Then a week passed and they kept walking. Soon a year passed, and yet they kept walking. Bosch's desire to know the answer was pure. He never wavered from his course. With every step the two of them took, they diminished the task by one step. Eventually, they unraveled every corridor and every intersection. They walked every path, took every right turn, every left turn that could be taken, and when this was done, all that was left was one door standing in front of them. This was the goal. The maze was completed, and it took what felt like centuries, but for all he knew, it could have taken him no time at all. He looked at Babbage and thanked him. It struck him funny how they had been walking these corridors so long, yet Babbage still had the same amount of ice and snow on his face as when they had started. The maze was warm. Shouldn't it all have melted? Babbage nodded his head at the thank you from Bosch and disappeared. His mission was completed. The goal was behind the door. It was a plain wooden door with a wooden knob and plain iron hinges. Bosch grabbed the knob and opened. This is the end of chapter 17. I want to thank you for listening, and stay tuned next week for chapter 18, The Guide. And once again, if you like this kind of stuff or you want to hear this story from the beginning, please check out my website, www.stormthecastle.com. You can also get a free download of my first novel called Fulcrum Shift. And you can keep an eye out for this novel, which is coming to print pretty soon. You'll be able to get it either through my website or from Amazon.com. I thank you very much. Until next week, enjoy.